You're listening to Hottery Humble.
No howling, only wooing.
Let's go, Hawks! Let's go!
Welcome to episode number 28 of the Hard to Be Humble podcast. I am, as always, the humblest man on earth, Tommy Stickle, and I'm joined today by none other. You're in luck today, folks. The greatest value, Chad Graham. How are you doing, Chad?
Hey, hello. I am doing well. Tommy, just watched the Hogs game.
Which Hogs game?
Great question. Hogs basketball, yet again, another loss to Florida in Gainesville. No, the streak was not broken today, Tommy. We did not break the streak of 25 years where the last time we won in Gainesville. But what else is new?
Yikes.
That's okay. That's okay because they got down big and they came back. And then they got down big again. Yeah. It's kind of been the theme. But other than that, Tommy, doing well. Just coming off a fresh and hot President's Day yesterday. Happy to all those presidents. Let's celebrate them all.
Man, I had a stomach bug yesterday, so it was awful President's Day for me.
What'd you eat?
I don't know. All I know is that the thing
you don't know what you ate?
Well, as far as what made me sick, that gave me the stomach bug, I have no idea.
Walk me through what you ate. Maybe I can diagnose it.
So I had on Sunday morning, I did the children's like 3-year-old playground nursery thing at church. So, okay. You know, when you're with a bunch of kids, you never know what you're going to pick up. So maybe something from them. All I know is that Sunday night at about 6 p.m., I felt like there was like a brick in my stomach, if you know what I'm saying. I was like, something ain't right. And I had eaten a bunch of cheese. Like, we had some guests over to our house, and we had like crackers and cheese and strawberries out. So I ate a lot of cheese. So I don't know if the cheese, like, I really don't think the cheese made me sick, but that was the last thing I ate. I ate
mozzarella?
Asiago, which is very good. Ooh. Very
good.
You
know a funny story about Asiago?
Yes.
Starting to derail.
Yes, absolutely. Who would?
Panera bread, right? You've been to Panera.
Yes, quite a few times. I hate they Panera have the bread, Asiago, by the way. Drives me crazy.
Whoa, okay. They have the Asiago bagel. Well, for like 6 months straight, I couldn't say the word Asiago. I kept calling it Asagio. Every time I said, I want the Asagio bagel. Oh, I did it again. 6 months. Asagio. What an idiot.
Asagio, man. That sounds like Italian painter or something. Oh, that's an Asagio. That's a vintage Asagio.
Hey, you see an Asagio.
That's great, man.
Someone get
Asagio. I feel like I feel like a similar thing is done with, I still don't know the correct way to pronounce it, C-H-I-A seeds, chai seeds, chia seeds.
Chia.
They're chia, like, I feel like you see it. I still don't know how to pronounce it. I've seen it a million different ways, I feel like.
No, just stay away from those.
There you go. Maybe that's the best route.
The people who eat them, drink them.
And then there's, like, the berry that's, like, A-C-A-I.
Acai.
Yeah, acai. I've heard it in plenty of different ways as well.
I feel like these hipsters just like to go find these weird name things and just like to eat them and consume them and then tell us how stupid we are when we can't say them. I don't think Asagio falls into that mix.
I'm pretty sure that is definitively incorrect. Asagio.
Well, there should be an Asagio.
Oh, Asagio. That's so good. So do we need to go into why I hate Panera? Probably not.
Oh,
it's pretty
simple.
Yeah.
Real quick.
I hate Panera because it's expensive. You go there and you drop like $40.
Oh.
And when you go with your family, somehow it's so expensive. Okay. And you don't leave full. Like, it's like you get barely fed and you spend a lot of money on it.
That's fair.
I just feel like it's over, like, to me, the beautiful place to be at for a restaurant is I am fully fed for under $10. Yes, that is the sweet spot. And if I can't get that, I'm disappointed.
Okay. Well, okay, dinner is bad, breakfast you can eat at an affordable price.
I think breakfast is better. That's a good point.
You'll go to Panera for like, and you'll pay for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for a kid for like $8. You're like, what?
Yes, that's exactly what happened in this scenario. It drove me insane.
Butter and jelly?
$8. And so, it's like PB&J and then like two grapes as the fruit side.
They got to make up for all those losses on breakfast. Local shout out, though, what has replaced my breakfast at Panera Bread is the Ozark Mountain Bagel Company here in Bentonville. Two locations. If you're up here, you need to go. I love it. They have Asagio bagels as well. They'll know what you're talking about.
Because you've ordered them enough. I'm still laughing about Asagio, by the way.
Ozark Mountain Bagel. Check it out.
All right. I will.
Two locations.
I will one day when I'm up in the motherland, so to speak.
Come on up. Come on up.
Well, fun stuff, Chad. Do you have an update on your spring mattress? I assume that did not go well if you tried.
We were out of town Saturday. Saturday is my main working day to blow up stuff.
Yep.
So I'll have to put it off till next weekend.
All right.
I scheduled a special trash pickup for today to pick it up. I didn't put it out there.
Oops.
You know why? Here's why. Because we got the citation. And it was like, if you leave it outside for more than 7 days, you're getting a ticket. So what if I go put it out there and the dude calls me in again? Because obviously this guy, I know who it is. 95% sure I know who it is.
Oh, not good.
And then you still left it out here. No, I just brought it out for, So I was going to rip it up. But
yeah.
I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear anything from the company when I scheduled the pickup. So I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm going to rip it up though.
Okay. Well, good luck. Let us know when it happens. It's the drama. It's the saga. Well, hey, let's jump into a little bit of basketball lamenting.
Yeah.
So obviously, we're just on a downward spiral. Can't win a game. You know, losing to Mississippi State at home. Close game. Fought back. Who cares? Didn't win. That's my opinion. I know some people want to give credit for adjustments and that type of thing. Are you in that? Are you in that mindset, Chad, that you actually feel like there was some form of positive from it, or are you still ticked off? Because what does it matter if you can come all the way back and still not win the game at the end?
Coach Musselman's doing a good job. He's a good coach. He's still the guy. We're missing Isaiah Joe more than we think. So this is the team who we thought they were. If Isaiah Joe is there, we may have won a few of these games, but... I was talking today. They're not going to win the national championship or go to a Final Four. No one expected that. These are frustrating games. The type of basketball now, we're kind of that team that tries to get like fouls. You know, like we're trying to get, like Mason drives in and tries to get fouls. Jalen Harris, he's the eighth grader, right? And he tries to draw contact. And we're kind of flop a little bit. I know Adrio's flop tonight was pretty bad. But we're looking for calls. And what happens is we get those calls for some reason. And then refs, and this is what I hate, they do these makeup calls.
Yep.
So like if Mason draws an offensive foul or someone pushes, you know 100% Mason's going to get called for an offensive foul within 2 minutes because he pushes off all the time. So it's frustrating to watch. I just want them to go out and play. But I'm curious how this is going to impact the team today. Like, who's coming back next year? Because everyone's draft stock, I feel like, outside of Mason, who's scoring a lot of points. We'll see.
I actually did a little bit of research today, just kind of cruising through just different draft stock. Like, you know, they have, like, draft boards, NBA draft boards, all that kind of stuff. Just seeing all that, you know, has anything changed? And I'll be honest, I don't really, it's crazy to me, but Isaiah Joe's draft stock is about the exact same it was entering into the season. I guess they are more slow to like change that. You know, they still peg him as the player he was more last year than this year, I think. So I don't know if they're just going to be correct in that or what. He's still basically kind of a mid second round draft. Like everyone has him going kind of the mid of the second round. And then
you think he goes if he's a mid second round guy?
It's a great question. I mean, I mean, do you think that Isaiah Joe would actually go to the NBA or come back if knowing that he's probably
going to go to the NBA if he's a second round pick?
He should.
You think so?
I think he should, because
you don't think he has potential to be a first rounder.
If you this is just me. I think that I don't think he has a lot to gain coming back. I know every Hog fan will want him to, but I don't think he has a lot to gain. I think he is what he is, and the scouts see what he is, and he has more to lose. You know, if he has another like, he wasn't lights out this year like he was last year at all. I mean, I guess I haven't studied the stats to know, like, compared to last year, what's he doing? But he seemed to have played better last year under Mike Anderson than under Musselman.
I don't think he's going to be an NBA player. I know that sounds harsh. I don't think he's okay on defense. He's good for one thing. He can shoot really well. He cannot create his own shot.
Doesn't seem to. I agree with that.
He cannot. He is not strong with the ball. And maybe this is just me seeing him with a bad knee, but he was so soft and weak here lately. I mean, basically all year, to where he can't really drive in and take anyone off the dribble. He can catch and shoot really well. And the NBA is good for that. But I don't know if he's going to be, if he's going to play, he's not a point guard. So if you put him as a shooting guard in the NBA, you're guarding people who are 6'6", 6'7", and a lot bigger than you. I don't know if he can handle that. I could be wrong.
Yeah. I just know that he doesn't have a large frame. He doesn't have a filled out frame, not a lot of muscle on that. He's pretty skinny, you know? And so when you have one injury, like a knee, you know, you just tend to think, you know, bigger, thicker guys can come back from injury better. Just say have more muscle to support everything, right? So I would say just him already having one, you know, pretty severe injury. I mean, I don't even know if you call this a severe injury. It's definitely hampered his game quite a bit, his knee. So if I were him and he was still saying, yeah, I could go, I probably would if I were him.
Well, if you were him, then he'd be you.
I can't remember the last part of that quote.
And I'd use that to get to the top.
Yes. there we go.
Yeah. Well, if you were me, then I'd be you. And I'd use your body to get to the top. You can't stop me no matter who you are.
And I was going to say, too, on Mason Jones, if we can jump to him, he has crept onto those draft board, like, top 100s, but literally everyone I looked at had him exactly at 100. It was so funny. It was like ESPN's. There was like multiple ones, and everyone had him right at like 100. So not draft dead, but he was at least kind of on the bubble, so to speak, you know, which probably doesn't bode well for him. I would say that he would likely benefit quite a bit to come back and do Mason Jones 2.0 next season. But I don't know. My guess is that Joe goes, Mason stays right now, if I had to guess.
Isaiah Joe is listed at 6'5", 180 pounds.
Correct.
He is very similar in frame to Malik Monk, okay? Very different players. Malik is not a point guard. Malik's trying to play shooting guard at 6'4"-ish, 6'5", and he has failed. Malik is a much better basketball player than Isaiah Jones. He's a better, I'd argue he's a better shooter than Isaiah Joe. And he has failed. That's all I'm comparing him to.
Yeah.
Maybe he pans out. For me, if I'm Isaiah Joe, stay and get your degree. Try to get into the pros. I hate to be a negative Nancy here. I agree with you on Jones, because Mason Jones is just a competitor and he just scores. And at this level, he can do that. But you go to the NBA, sorry, you're not doing what you're doing. You're not a good enough shooter but you're not manhandling your way inside and putting those shots up and making them and going to the free throw line. You're just going to get blocked.
Yeah. I feel like the NBA is by far the hardest league to get into and be even halfway, like even decent at. Like, it's crazy. Like, our best players for the Razor, you almost imagine that any of our, like, our best player on any Razorback team should be a pro, right? You just imagine that, like, football, baseball, basketball. And it's like, with basketball, that's the one where there is the absolute furthest gap to me between, like, Isaiah Joe and Mason Jones, even if they get drafted, might not even make their teams. Like, It's that far versus, you know, football, we always have guys that are in the league, always, you know, baseball, of course we do. It just, that gap, like, if there was one sport I would, maybe there's opportunities to still be a pro, quote unquote, and not be in the NBA, and maybe that's what those guys are pursuing, but, you know, for the majority of kids, I would say basketball is just not a sport. It just seems really, really hard if you want to make money at it one day.
Yeah. Bobby Portis is doing well. Daniel Gafford, Patrick Beverley. But those two of those are just big, big people. Patrick just really honed in on defense, and he became the defensive guy. Isaiah Joseph, I mean, if he could try to specialize in it.
And Musk says that he is a very undervalued defender. Like, he's one of the best defenders on the team. He said that. Sure. And that kind of hit me this week watching the Mississippi State game. I think I didn't realize how much his impact on the defensive side of the ball is hurting us too. You know, he would always take some charges, take some points off the board with that. Every single game he was going to take a charge and take, you know, at least 4 points off the board, which is meaningful, you know, and amongst other things. But yeah, it just hurts not having them, and we'll see what the future holds. Seems likely that we'll get him back this season sometime.
Who knows?
Seems
best
likely.
Of luck to him either way.
Apparently he was practicing today, which was a big
step. Out today too. Ultimately, Hogs aren't going to the tournament.
Don't
hold your breath. NIT, maybe.
Unless we just continue this downward spiral. I mean, we got to win some games. We got to win something.
Please. Anyone.
Yeah, we've got games. Who do we got, Chad?
Who's next?
Yeah, I got it right here.
Do, 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 do.
Arkansas has games against Missouri. I always try to say Missouri, not Mizzou. Missouri, Tennessee, Georgia, LSU, and Texas A&M. That's who we got left. Definitely some winnable games there. Missouri and Tennessee and LSU are at home. Georgia, Texas A&M on the road. So, I mean, to get to the NIT, we got to win some of those. If not, we got to win half of those probably. Maybe
Arkansas
maybe.
Beats Missouri. They lose at Tennessee. They lose at Georgia.
The Tennessee's home.
They lose against Tennessee at home.
Ooh.
And lose at Georgia. That's my pick. You guys hate it. You hate the pick.
I hate
love
the
it.
Pick. Well, we'll see. Hopefully we make the NIT. That sounds so terrible, but I could see a scenario where we just keep losing and don't ever get out of it.
I would be excited if we won the NIT.
If we won the NIT?
I would be genuinely excited.
Oh, heck yeah, me too. That would be incredible in my opinion.
Does that sound weird to say? I'd be excited.
I don't view the NIT as bad as I think most do. That, like, most basketball people view the NIT as just like pure garbage, like don't even like I just think it's so funny how coaches in the past literally said no. Like, no, we'll pass on the NIT. You know, who was it?
Stan Heath.
Yeah. Just no. We're good.
Our guys are tired.
No, we're good.
Decline the bid.
Yeah.
And then he got
yeah, just terrible. So, but I don't view it that way. To me, hey, it's the XFL. But if you can win the XFL, that's something, right?
I'd go to a If we hosted an NIT game, I'd go.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
I'd be game for it. Well, so it seems like, you know, there's, you know, the Mus haters are definitely coming out. They're not seeing a lot. What I'm seeing is he still doesn't know exactly what's going on sometimes. Like, he starts, like, in the Florida game, he started Ethan Henderson, who did well, but then quickly had to make some changes, and it paid off when he made those changes. You know, he made adjustments. He seems like a coach that he knows what he's doing. Us stupid fans think we know what we're talking about. We don't. Trust me, he's going to do better than anyone else. Don't. He's good. He's fine. Calm down. He's our guy.
I think he got a few breaks whenever everyone was like really high on the Mus bus, to where maybe he kind of got a little lucky streak. Nothing, not to discredit him at all, but I feel like he had maybe this little like, okay, I'm kind of coaching out of my level right now. Like, he kind of hovered above himself.
I remember that. Yeah, just think of our defense, like how good that was. That had to have been so much luck because it's just totally gone away in the SEC. And like the Valpo game in Little Rock, we almost lost that game. Yeah. You know, there was definitely a few times. I mean, we lost at Western Kentucky. I don't know. There were signs, but
I'm happy with them.
Absolutely.
Let's not overreact.
No overreact.
Everyone calm down.
Calm down, people.
Come on, chill out.
So, Chad, We're gonna skip it up a little bit. We're gonna change it around. We're gonna talk just a little nibble of football. Xavier Kelly committed to Arkansas, grad transfer from Clemson. I kind of talked about it on the podcast like it was a done deal a few ago, but it's now official. Defensive end/defensive tackle, big guy.
I have zero memory of you bringing this up in the past because when you start talking about football in February, I zone out.
Yeah, I said he was able to get some transfers in from like Oklahoma and Clemson and in Florida, and so I kind of said he did that, but
I know football is the most popular sport.
Sure, it is. It's absolutely. So, Chad, do you view this Xavier Kelly guy as a game changer?
No,
he's not. He's not. People, it's Come nice on. Though. It is a good sign. It's a great sign that he chose us. It's always good to be chosen. It's never bad to be chosen, Chad, unless Ben Hicks chooses you. Then it's bad.
Hicks.
There's nothing good about that choice. When a guy who was like a top 100 guy in the country goes to a school like Clemson and then chooses you, hey, he got passed by freshmen. Literally, he got passed on the depth chart by a freshman. So he's not going to be this elite, just game changer type of guy walking in here, but he's going to be what we need. He's going to fill in a gap, and you know it's going to be good. We're going to be glad we have him, and hey, hopefully he can get to the NFL. He's an NFL body. If he can just put some stats up, he'll get his chance. So, it's a good sign. I'm excited about it. And
I'll root for him.
When you look at the grad transfers we've brought in specifically on defense, a linebacker, defensive line, when we brought over a cornerback from ASU, which I know we always feel kind of like, do we really want that? But he's an upgrade. He's an upgrade to what we have. He played at Georgia last year and played pretty well. He's going to be good. I think we've made tremendous upgrades on defense to just bring in some depth and, well, actually to bring in starters and some older guys who are going to be really good or, you know, be good for us. So things are looking up as they always tend to in the spring, and we'll see what actually happens in the fall, but I'm excited.
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
So let's jump to the best sport right now.
Ball.
For the Razorbacks. Arkansas, Omaha.
It's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Yeehaw! Woo pig!
Seventh inning stretch is fantastic. Go to a game and sing the seventh inning stretch. It's great.
Never gets old.
Baseball looked good.
Looked great. Oh, man.
Did you watch all three games?
I did not. Okay. I'll be honest. I just watched one game because I'm lame, but I feel like I got a good taste of the team, and I've got to say, we'll just start it off. Connor Nolan, we'll start out there. Well, hey, let's do this, Chad. We need to do, all right, high five, best friend, punch. That's the game.
You go
That's
first.
What we do.
Go all three.
You want me to do all three? Okay.
Let's get ready to
high five. Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
A nice punch to the face.
Y'all ready for this? I'm going to start out with my high five. And my high five is going to my man, my guy, the guy I'm rooting for this season, the guy I'm watching with binoculars, Casey Opitz. And he's getting a high five for in the first game, he threw out a guy stealing third. What an idiot for trying to steal third, for one. He just stole second. He thought he could get cute. And then he also in that game threw off a guy who took too big of a lead off of first, just from his knees, threw out the guy at first. It was beautiful. Majestic. I love his defensive skills. He's going to be a guy that gets drafted. I'm saying in the fifth round in the MLB draft. Big time. High five, Casey Opitz. I love you.
High five.
All right. And then my best friend that I almost wanted to call a hug. My best friend. This is easy. This is an easy one. This is a layup. Dave Van Horn, Chad. Dave Van Horn is my best friend. The guy never disappoints. Literally, he's anybody would want him to be their dad. You know, what a guy. He's a great guy. And you know what? Here is one specific reason why I want to best friend him, Chad.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at FanGraphs, which is, you know, a really great analytical baseball website. I was looking at FanGraphs top 200 draft prospects for this upcoming draft, MLB draft, because I was kind of curious about Arkansas's team and where, you know, certain players were looking, you know, projected, so to speak. And it also has high school players and where they're committed. And guess what, Chad? Of the list of 200, and this includes college kids, so this includes the whole pool of baseball. Arkansas has six players on this list of 200 committed to play for Arkansas in 2020.
Wow.
Now, that doesn't mean that they all play for us. You know, there is a chance that they could go to the draft, you know, go to straight to the MLB. Don't do that if you're listening. Come on. I know you are.
Come on.
Don't do that. Come to Arkansas. It'll help you. Trust me.
But look at Robert Moore.
Six players, man. And there was only one other school that has six in the top 200. It's Texas. Ugh. And Vandy only had four, but I will say they had four pretty elite guys. But I'm just saying, Chad, Arkansas is really recruiting at just tip-top level with baseball. No shock to anybody, but
hey,
man, it's Vanderbilt. Elite. It's elite, Chad.
And Vanderbilt's got a guy that's in your neck of the woods. You think you can flip him over to Arkansas? Or
I don't think that's happening.
just one conversation.
That'd be the funniest thing for me to try to do. I have no idea how I'd approach that conversation. Alongside these six, though, I did look at where, you know, Arkansas current players were projecting this top 200. We had three, Chad. Mm-hmm. We had Casey Martin. Let me double check where he was going. Casey Martin currently listed as the 12th highest draft prospect, according to fans' draft list. 12th. Pretty good. Next, good. Heston Kerstad.
My boy.
Heston ranked 43rd on the list. So quite a big gap down. And then Casey Opitz, I think he was somewhere in like the 150 range or something like that. Maybe 120, 150, something like that. But exciting stuff. So not only do we have three current players on our team in the draft pool that are playing for us, we have six in the pipeline. Like it's pretty cool, man.
And a lot of them are from Arkansas.
Yes, that's even cooler. Yeah, I think the majority of them are. There's one guy, I think maybe the top guy was from Texas. But anyways, it's just incredible. Arkansas has got the baseball scene on lockdown right now. Great job.
It's awesome. Give Dave Van Horn a lifetime contract.
It's guaranteed. Yeah, he needs it all. He's earned it. He deserves it. And my punch, Chad.
Yeah.
I am punching a guy named Wes Burton. Probably Wes a name Burton. Most people aren't familiar with, okay? But let me fill you in. If you've watched Ole Miss baseball play, they have a kid. Yes, they have a freshman pitcher. He's a big, tall Gumby of a guy. 6'8", Chad. Wes Burton.
Huge.
From Santa Monica, California.
Ugh.
And here is the reason I want to punch him in the face. Again, this is an audio experience. You can't see the video. All you need to do is go on Twitter and look up Wes Burton, and you'll see what I'm talking about. When he pitches, his face is like he has gritted teeth, and he's so angry, and he's so intense, and he's that kind of pitcher that when he strikes out a guy, he like just like pumps himself up and like does all this like, what do you call this when you do this, Chad? What's that called? When you like tense up, all that like tense stuff. And it's so stupid and ridiculous. I hate it. Act like you've been there before, stupid 6'8 freshman. You don't like, he's literally getting the call from the catcher and he's like got his teeth gritted. And if I were a batter, I would just want to smack a ball right to his teeth to knock him out.
It sounds like it's like you remember Joakim Noah? You remember him in Florida?
Oh, I do not like him at all.
It's the guy you love to hate.
Ugh.
And I love getting on board to hate people like that, you know, especially in conference. I'm in. Can't wait till we play him.
You're going to hate him, Chad. And there's more to hate about Ole Miss. I don't know if we need to get into all that or let you do your stuff.
There's plenty. I'm excited for conference play. I have a few basketball players on my list still because I'm still in the season.
All right, Chad, you do your list. A high five, best friend, punch.
It's a hybrid. My high five is to Heston Kerstad. Can't leave the guy unnoticed. His swing is beautiful. It's it is immaculate. I mean, it doesn't even look like he's trying to swing the bat. He's cranking home runs. It's just, I could just watch him on repeat. If you haven't seen all four home runs that Heston hit, go watch them because it's beautiful. Loved it.
SEC player of the week alongside co-SEC player of the week alongside yep. Connor Nolan.
It's fantastic.
It's almost like the Arkansas basketball media knew it was happening with that Step Brothers type of picture they released.
Right.
Yeah, how crazy is that? One. Like they were the co-SEC players of the week. It's nuts. Yeah.
And he batted, I mean, batted over 500. I mean,
pretty
awesome.
Good. Pretty good.
Awesome weekend.
Ain't him. Bad.
So that's my high five. He's been my favorite since he was a freshman. He's got to work on his fielding and outfield. Awful. Not awful. Sorry. He's just awkward out in outfield sometimes and misses some balls. And that's just the reality of it. So he's got to address that in the majors.
Plenty of time in the minors to hammer that out. Yeah. No big deal.
I mean, he's had 3 years at Arkansas to figure it out, but okay. You know,
there's always a pinch hitting. There's always pinch hitting.
True. He's got it figured out from the plate.
He feels like a Yankee to me. He feels like a Yankee player. I'm just going to be honest.
I can see that. So that's my high five. My best friend is Mason Jones. Hmm. My gosh, Mason, like you frustrate me, but you're still my best friend. You're putting up ridiculous numbers. You're keeping us in these games, putting up 30, 40 points, averaging over 20 a game. So he's got a lot of fight in him. He's extremely annoying at times, but you know what? He's still that friend that you still just want to have around because, you know, he's going to fight for you. So props to Mason. Person I want to punch is, Reggie Chaney. Like, you got a couple good games, Reggie, and then you've fallen off. Yep. Where'd you go,
Reg?
Where are you? So that's frustrating. That's more frustrating to me than just being, well, no, it's not. I take it back. Gene Tostilla is the most frustrating any player could be to me at any circumstance. And I feel like Muss is with me on it. Like, you see him, one mess up, Stilla's out of the game.
Yep.
All it takes is one play. And you just see him. He's just like not paying attention and someone just drives right by him and dunks it.
Yes.
Muss is like screaming on the bench and you see someone go to the scorer's table. And what I saw tonight against Florida, Silla saw it happen. And what he did is he went down and shot a three because he knew he was coming out of the game.
Like, and did he make that three? No.
I feel like Muss almost broke something on the bench.
Oh, man.
The worst. Anyway. Yeah. Well, you know what? So Silla in there too. I want to punch Silla.
Punch
too.
Silla. Yeah, we always want to punch Silla. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
That's my list. But Hawks baseball look good, man. I'm excited. The deepest batting order I've seen. Robert Moore looked a little shaky.
Yeah,
at the plate.
He did diddly nothing.
So turned a fantastic double play though. His fielding is incredible. He is truly gifted in the field. Got to learn some plate discipline. So
yep.
He had a couple of good contact with the ball, but
currently leading the team in strikeouts, which isn't great, you know. So he's definitely, you can already tell, you know, he's batting ninth in the lineup consistently, you know, had four strikes, you know, he's gonna come around. But he's gonna be the X factor by the end of the year.
Yeah.
If he comes around, that's gonna be the icing, that's gonna be the cherry on top right there.
Here's what's so good about that ninth spot on the batting order. Christian Franklin did this last year and he was inconsistent. But so when you've gone through the order a couple times and say, and Opitz is eighth. So I loved it when it was Opitz and then Moore and then you got starting lineup. So if you get Moore on base and you got the start of the lineup going, Moore is really, really fast.
Yep.
Like just like Franklin. So then you have Braden Webb, then you have Christian Franklin. Think about all that speed. That's exciting. It's exciting to me.
It's bad. That is bad.
I'm fired up.
So, yeah, just kind of looking at some other stats. You know, Connor Nolan having 11 strikeouts, ultra surprising to me. Just killer. Looked dominant out there. Don't know what happened there. Just from what I could tell, just he was doing what I hope he did, which was locating the ball, mixing his pitches. I mean, he was just putting on a clinic on how it's done. 11 strikeouts just looked awesome. So, let's hope he keeps that up. people typically, when you rely on location and you know, having your stuff have to work to be good, there can be nights that, you know, only two pitches are working that you kind of get hit up a little bit. So I don't expect Connor to keep this consistent. I just don't, but he's going to be solid, I think, which is good to see. And I didn't get to watch Patrick Wicklander pitch, but he had, you know, a nice 7K outing. Seemed pretty dominant as well. So that was nice to see. Third pitcher was
Blake Adams.
Yes, Blake Adams. Didn't have such a great outing.
Nope, true freshman. So
we'll have to keep developing that.
Relief, he didn't look good.
Relief pitching seemed pretty solid, though, so that's good to see. I think we started like different relief pitchers every – I don't think we had any repeat relief pitchers come into the game, so we got – I don't know if all those guys got a chance to go, but, you know – just a productive opening series, swept them, just crushed them.
Now we play Gonzaga, we play them for four games, a four-game series. Pretty crazy, Thursday to Sunday, all in beautiful Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Should be good. Chad, do you know if Gonzaga is any good?
So they beat Oregon State. Oregon State's up, they took one game from them. I think they lost another one. So, I mean, they have the potential. And the history is with Gonzaga is that they've had Arkansas's number in the past, historically. So having said that, I think they're 1-3 right now, 1-2. So historically, Gonzaga has had Arkansas's number, whether it be here or there. So it could be a little bit of a revenge of let's turn the tides a little bit.
Sounds good. Well, should be an awesome series. I should say, you know, I don't think we need to know what the team's made of, but, you know, first good opponent, I would say. Yep. So it should be fun.
I'm excited. I'm excited about this team. So I'm just going to soak it in. Just soak in the greatness. Enjoy this. That's what I'm going to try to do. Because, I mean, literally, we are one of the best teams in the country. Not even, there's not any bias behind that. Truly are the best, one of the best teams in the country. I'm just going to sit back. We got some veterans. We got some new folks. I'm just going to enjoy it and have fun. I'm excited.
And I'm gonna give another shout out to a best friend. Okay.
Okay.
This one's probably not one you're gonna expect. But how about this? The SEC Network.
Come on. Oh yeah.
We get to watch these games. Like, if you were to transport me back to like high school Tommy, you know, in like the 2000s or even college Tommy, you couldn't watch any of these baseball games. Like none of them probably. Maybe a few were televised on like whatever. I don't even know what it would be. It's amazing that in 10 years time, we have gone to this amazing availability to watch these games. It's incredible. And I'm so thankful for that. Like, it's so neat.
That's a good point.
Man, how television has transformed being a sports fan in my lifetime is really incredible.
Even 10 years ago, like when people, they'd always say, oh yeah, Arkansas baseball, they're usually pretty good. You know, no one would really know, but now we know.
Because we can watch it.
Say, yeah, they're like, they've always been good. You know, I remember back in, it was 2010, I believe, I had to watch a game on that really, I don't know how it streamed. It wasn't like a SEC Network stream. It was on a laptop and it was like standard definition. It was horrible quality, but I watched the Brett Eibner game back in 2010 where he hit those home runs. And it was a miserable viewing experience. And now I can just watch it on my TV and stream. And
you can literally watch it on your phone while you're taking a deuce.
Like, that's true.
It is incredible. Like, you can,
it's not old. I feel old right now.
Oh man. I don't
know how good you have it.
It's exactly. But I love living in that space of how incredible technology is. Like, I don't want to take for granted the advances we have or the things that just bring me joy. And that is one thing that brings me joy, Chad. Absolutely love SEC Network. Thank you, SEC Network.
Thank you.
You don't do everything perfect, okay? Some of your commentators like Barry Booker are complete garbage, but we still really appreciate you.
One thing about the SEC Network I don't understand, nor will I ever understand, is where there's potential ad space and it just says your broadcast has a commercial break.
Yes.
Is there some lost revenue there? I feel like you guys can go and get.
I feel like
enough people watch.
I feel like we need, Chad, we need to investigate this because maybe it's not super expensive and maybe we could put Hard to Be Humble podcast. Go check it out up there.
Can you not get enough people to buy ads? I feel like enough people watch Arkansas baseball.
It's like
a ton of broadcasts have that.
And if you're not filling your space, then how in the world, like, are you sure your pricing model is correct? Like, I don't think it's going to get, viewership's going to just grow exponentially there. You know, it's like
a lot of questions.
If it's not filling, you should probably lower the price or you know, start, I don't know, figuring it out. But great points. Great points.
You know, we need to figure this out. I feel like we need to record a call to inquire about this. We'll let the people know. We'll set that up for next time.
Sounds good. Call SEC Network. Hey, how much is that ad space just during Arkansas baseball? Just that. Can I do that?
This guy, I mean, surely if someone is saying, I'm willing to pay you. I just don't understand it.
Well, all right, Chad. Asagio. Hopefully you get Asagio. Some Asagio bagels soon.
Maybe that should be my new nickname.
Anything else? Maybe. We'll have to think more on that. Anything? Oh, let me actually, yes, I've thought of a few things. So we got a voicemail from Andy. And but before we get to that, I did want to point out, some of you on Twitter might have seen that, yes, I did invite the infamous Todd Dingleberry.
Dingle.
Mr. Or at Old Mudbutt is his Twitter name. He's been causing quite the stir on Twitter lately, just with some of his proclaims about Musk being bad and different things like that. Anyways, you know, a lot of people got mad at him. I invited him on the show just to see if he wanted to, you know, talk it through, you know, air it out with the fans. You know, maybe he's not such a bad guy. He seems, had some good questions for him, reached out to him. He took a picture of my DM on Twitter, posted that. And, you know, asked if he should come on. Anyways, on Saturday, he did reach back and said, hey, is the offer still stand? And I said, yes, but he never got back to me. And then when I tried to DM him again today, it seems like something's happened with his Twitter account. Like his tweets aren't loading and I can't send him a DM now. It just keeps saying can't send. So I think he's having some kind of, Twitter, I don't know if you call it legal issues, but probably some kind of rules thing that he's dealing with. So I won't say that it's a firm no, but I will say it's unlikely. So if you're disappointed by that, sorry, but I tried. I do have some plans to hopefully reach out to some different people though, too, to see if they want to come on the show. So always feel free to let me know if you have any people or guests that you think would like to come on, because me and Chad would love to talk to them.
Oh, yeah.
We're very conversational. We don't bite unless we want to. And anyways. So yeah, let me go pull up this voicemail from Andy and see what he had to say.
Hey Tommy, this is Andy from Memphis. Man, it's good for the first time in a long time to have a weekend where I'm not upset with the Razorbacks. Baseball team exceeded all my expectations. I got to see a lot of things that I was hoping to see, and the starting pitching looked great. The relief pitching looked really good. Don't know about a close yet. Hadn't had to use one, but man, the bats are there. I love seeing the plate discipline. And Eastern Michigan, they or Eastern Illinois, whoever it was, they had some really good pitching too, man. That first guy they had on that Friday night, he's a legit SEC type guy. He's gonna get a look from the major leagues. They're an NCAA tournament team, so it's not like they were chopped everywhere playing this weekend. It's gonna be really good. Well, you know how last weekend I was really upset with the hockey team, they let me down, but I got the jersey in this weekend, and I'm gonna tell you, it's freaking sweet. I know I sent you the pictures, that thing looks awesome, don't it? You're missing out if you didn't order one of them sweet, sweet, sweet hockey sweaters. All right, guys. Hopefully I have another good week coming up. Baseball's got 4 games against Gonzaga. It's going to be a test, but I think we'll at least win 3 of them. Talk to you boys later. Bye.
Nice. Yes, solid. Andy did send me pictures of the Razorback hockey sweaters. For those not familiar with hockey, they call them sweaters, okay? Jerseys. And yes, it did look good. Andy's loving his. So hopefully you took advantage of that and got a sweet jersey, sweet sweater. But yeah, I think Andy's pretty well spot on. What do you think, Chad? I think Chad might disagree a bit on the quality of Eastern Illinois. The first picture did look good. I will be honest. I haven't researched enough to know, like, is he, you know, actually well thought of or whatnot, but I agree that I do think he looked really good, but I don't know.
He was fine. He was fine. I mean, not to discredit what Arkansas was doing or what Andy said. I don't know that he's SEC caliber type. He's a good pitcher. He's fine. I don't know. It was a tune-up game.
He was throwing hard. Opinion. He was throwing like 96, I think, which is good. I mean, that's
good.
That is MLB. That's MLB speed.
Yeah. You know what? I think we sweep. We'll do a 4-0 sweep against Gonzaga.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah. I called it. It's aggressive.
I have no idea what to call, so I'm not even going to predict anything.
Come on.
I would say we're just as likely to sweep as lose all of them, for all I know. We seem like we'll. I would guess that we win them. I don't know. Home games, we'll win them. Why not?
It's the least committal prediction ever.
Yeah, I'm not committed at all. I'll see. I still need to see more before I can have. Not that my predictions are even ever correct. So, but we'll see. It should be fun. I've enjoyed watching them, and of course, we've got some basketball games. Like I said, coming up against Missouri and Tennessee. So. Mark those on your calendars. We're still there. We'll sure they'll for you basketball. We promise. We're still watching. You can do it.
You can do it, guys. I believe in you.
Well, all right, man. You have anything else for us today?
I don't.
Well, thank you for your time.
Let's have a good week.
Thank you for your time. Let's do have a good week. Thank you for your passion, Chad. Thank you for your love. Thank you for... the way you smile when you talk about the Razorbacks.
I want to thank you for it. Na, 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 na.
There we go. Well, y'all have a great week. We'll talk to you later. Woo big.
Woo big.
Yes. You got to keep doing that.
Thank you for listening to Hard to Be Humble. Every ounce of support you give us is greatly appreciated. We can't thank you enough for tuning in with us today. Go now and follow the show on Twitter at @humble_podcast and on Instagram at @hardtobehumblepodcast. And if you'd like to have any of your thoughts, ideas, opinions, or concerns heard on the show, you can leave a voicemail or text our dedicated phone number at 615-392-0107. Hog calls are especially encouraged. And finally, never forget, as the late, great Mac Davis taught us so long ago, it can be really hard to be humble, especially if you're an Arkansas Razorback fan. Go Hogs!